the history of earth, the things that they remember that happened to them on earth, their sufferings, their death, the manner of their death, the spilling of their blood. These souls in heaven remember these things. And every case is brought to the Lord, and we know that every case will be investigated, and sentence shall fall. And the Lord is told here, or he responds here, and he speaks that they're given white robes, and it was said to them, rest a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled, and then the Lord will avenge. And so there's a good reason not to touch a Christian. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak today. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and it is the great privilege of my own heart to bring you the message of God's Word today. We're looking at the book of Revelation. We're looking at the chapter 6, verses 9 onward. We are looking at the cry of the martyrs under the altar. These are the people who have endured for Christ, given their lives for Jesus' sake, and for his word. And they cry out from under the altar for vengeance, asking, how long, O Lord? Now, when you proceed through the book of Revelation, you get the answer to their cries. And in Revelation chapter 16, we find that the cry comes out again. And the people under the altar, they renounce that the Lord's judgments are right and true, because that is the chapter of God pouring out the vials of wrath upon the wicked, upon those who have borne and taken the mark of the beast, those idolaters, false worshippers who persecuted the people of God, who loved the Bible, loved the gospel, and protected and defended the name of Jesus. They are now crying out for vengeance. And we praise God that this gospel, well, the Lord will answer the cries of his people. And it is no vain thing to give your life to serve the Lord Jesus. And all who do so shall be eternally rewarded. Even though in this life you may lose your life, you may lose position, you may lose standing or salary, and there are many Christians around the world who are doing so for Jesus' sake. And we pray that God would give every one of us the grace to take up the cross and be faithful disciples of the Lord Jesus. So I bid you to join with us here in the program today as we look at the cry of the martyrs from under the altar. And this we read in Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. Now, I hope that you are enjoying these programs in the book of Revelation. If you wish to hear them again, you can go on our website and you can look for them under resources, under Let the Bible Speak and past programs. Or if you need a CD, well, we can do that too. So let us know. We look forward to hearing from you. May the Lord bless you richly through his word today. Let's open our Bibles at the book of Revelation, chapter 6, and we commence at verse 9. Revelation chapter 6. And we'll commence at verse 9. We've got a very short reading here. We're just going to read about the fifth seal and the events surrounding that. Revelation 6, verse 9 through 11. When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren, that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. When you get to heaven, your mind will not be erased. You will be very conscious of things you've known, the things you've done, your deeds, your lifestyle, the very intricate details of your unique personality. Now remember that you are unique. Your fingerprint. That's how you can be identified as the one. No one else has the fingerprint you have. These days we have gadgets where we just use our fingers, and the fingerprint opens up the program or the device. I can open this one, but if I invited you to come and do it, you couldn't do it, because our fingerprints are unique. Your saliva, a DNA test can prove the uniqueness of every element of our body. And that uniqueness of our earthly lives will carry over into eternity. We will be the same people, and nothing will be lost. And that's why we can say it always pays to serve the Lord. Every sacrifice, every service will be recognized and rewarded in heaven. And the man or woman that you are now, and being sanctified, changed into the image of Christ, will all count and be significant when you're glorified and brought into heaven. So this is the condition that we see of these martyrs that are under the altar. We look at verse 9, the second part of it, and we see their cause. That were slain for the word of God and for the testimony of the Lord Jesus. Now, people die and suffer of many things in this fallen world. Disease overcomes, tragedy overcomes, and many things happen to us. But these martyrs, which means witnesses, they are martyrs for Christ, they are his witnesses because of their stand for the book, the Word of God. And they loved the Word of God more than their own lives. That's why they became martyrs. And they found the book of God to be so convincing, so convicting, and so fulfilling that they could not bring themselves to deny the book. They stood for God's word. And they could say that their convictions in that word was more precious than life itself. And so when necessity came, they were willing to choose Christ rather than to choose life. The Bible commands us, of course, not to worship idols. That's the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or anything. You think of the Korean people when they were under the heels of the Japanese, 1910, thereabouts, presented with Shinto idols. Many hundreds and thousands of Christians chose Christ above the idol because of the conviction they had in God's word. And this was their strong stand. You go back in Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, you'll see that the church at Philadelphia also had this reputation that they kept the Lord's word. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word. The Lord noted. The Lord noted their faithfulness to his word. And if we be a true church, if we be true Christians, the Lord takes note of our attitude to the word, our willingness to follow through on the commands and our convictions of that word in our lives. And we know that it's that word that offends. It's that word that offends the ungodly. In the parable of the sower. And I want to take you there because it's important to get this in our minds. Mark chapter 4 and verse 16. Mark chapter 4, verse 16. And this is the stony ground that we're dealing with here. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. All right. And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake. Your Bible is going to get you into trouble. That's how it is in this world. In a God-hating, rebellious world, this Bible will cause offense. And the pressure will be on you. Persecution will come to you. Pressure will be put upon you to give up your convictions on the Bible. Oh, just be a general reader of the book, but don't try to obey the book. And there, persecution comes into our lives. Now, the other cause for which these martyrs were put to death is that they had a strong testimony. Let's read the end of verse 9 again. For the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Just so you know, the word testimony there is martyria, martyr, to be a witness. And it's when you spout off what you believe the Bible teaches that you have a testimony. It's when you let it show. It's when your life changes, when you turn away from ungodly things and follow after the Lord and his ways. That's your testimony. And testimony matters. It matters. In fact, it's the only thing you have in this world. Your money doesn't count for this. Your reputation doesn't count. Your testimony does count. And rather than besmirch their testimony, these saints chose to die first. In fact, that became their witness. And in the first century, we certainly know that the early Christians, their testimony was so powerful that the blood of the martyrs was the seed of the church because the world took note. These Christians will die before they surrender. And that became a powerful witness before the world. We don't deliberately go out of our way just to offend the world. That's not Christian. We do not wish to be odd for the sake of being different. Our stand is the Bible. And our testimony is that we love the Lord and we want to honor him. That's our testimony. And around the world, there are people willing every day to die, to suffer for the word of God and their testimony. I got this again from that website, Voice of Martyrs. And it's not long, but I'd like to just lay out what it means to be a Christian in a communist dictatorship. And it says, registering a congregation in China is not the same as registering in Canada in order to issue tax receipts. Registering in China means asking the Chinese government for the right to exist, a right that no human institution possesses. Registered churches in China generally must accept the following restrictions. They can only meet at designated times, in designated places, with designated leadership. The teaching of children and youth under the age of 18 in the church is generally prohibited. It is illegal to evangelize outside the walls of the church. It's illegal to use or to possess Christian literature not published in China and approved by the Chinese government. The Chinese government has a say in who is selected to serve as pastors and leaders. And therefore, many choose not to register and seek to hold church, whatever way they can, as unregistered churches. They put Christ first. Do we? Do you? We can use the liberties that we have to be all out for the Lord. And we ought to rejoice and praise God every day for the opportunities that He gives us to be living witnesses for Him. I may not be asked to die for Christ, but I am asked to live for Him, to worship Him, and identify myself with Christians who wish to honor Him. Will you? Or will you just skirt the issues? Remember, what you are on earth will count in heaven. Your testimony will be your testimony in heaven. What you do for Christ here will be acknowledged there. I'll move on here. I've got a whole lot of things to say on that, but I'm going to move on a little bit here. You look at verse 10, you will see that they cry, this is their complaint now, they cry to have their own blood avenged. Verse 10 and the end of the verse. How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Notice something. They relate or rehearse exact evils. The history of earth, the things that they remember that happened to them on earth, their sufferings, their death, the manner of their death, the spilling of their blood. These souls in heaven remember these things. And every case is brought to the Lord, and we know that every case will be investigated and sentence shall fall. And the Lord is told here, or He responds here, and He speaks that they are given white robes, and it was said to them, rest a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled, and then the Lord will avenge. And so there's a good reason not to touch a Christian. A good reason to settle our differences with fellow believers. And if you have it in for a fellow Christian, you may not end their life or cause them physical suffering, but if you have a vendetta or an agenda or some bitter scheme against a fellow Christian, beware. Their complaint will rise to the throne of God. It will be remembered. Just as you wouldn't touch a mother bear's cubs because they're loved of the mother, don't touch the Lord's children. Don't touch the Lord's children. They are as the apple of his eye, precious in his sight. Now we move to the comfort of these martyrs. In verse 11, we're told here that they are given white robes of honor. These are worthy saints, and they are given dignity and honor to comfort them in their needs. They're also called to rest for a little season. Their resting is to wait for the fulfillment of God's program until all the suffering is over, and then the Lord will take action. I read a wonderful little statement this week. I shared it in the prayer meeting with those who were present, a book by Robert J. Morgan, and it's in relation to a hymn writer by Ann Steele. And she had a very tough life. She lost her mother at the age of 3. She was raised by her father, who was a businessman preacher. She was invalided at age 19. She was to be married to the love of her life, Robert Elskerut, who proposed to her. But the day before their wedding, he died, drowned the day before their wedding. And in her hardship, she wrote this poem. Father, whatever of earthly bliss thy sovereign will denies, accept it at thy throne. Let this, my humble prayer, arise. Give me a calm and thankful heart, from every murmur free, the blessing of thy grace impart, and make me live to thee. Let the sweet hope that thou art mine, my life and death attend. Thy presence through my journey shine, and crown my journey's end. Robert Morgan, the biographer of this Ann Steele, said, the Lord never wastes the sufferings of his people. He blesses every one of them. What a great comfort to our hearts tonight. Maybe you've had reverses, troubles, trials, things that are a deep mystery to you. Take this to heart. The Lord comforts, and he never wastes the sufferings, the sacrifices of his people. We learn here in this 11th verse that God has a program for all saints. You'll notice the three words, should be fulfilled. That is, those on earth remaining until the fullness of time. And it is God's will that people on earth be his witnesses by laying down their lives. It's God's will. And martyrdom is appointed for many of the Lord's own blood-bought chosen people. And if I am to be martyred, I shall not die on a flowery bed of ease. If I am to die as a martyr, I shall not die as a Judas who betrayed the Lord and all that he stood for. If I am to be martyred, then the Lord shall know all about it and shall take my soul in and hide me there under the altar. And I won't be silenced. I will cry for vengeance of my blood, for justice. There is in every human heart a very deep and intense longing for justice. And you can see these souls in heaven cried out, "How long, O Lord? How long, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood?" The only way that a sinner can escape the wrath of their own sin is to have it judged in the Lord Jesus. Now think of Saul of Tarsus. He's a prime example here because he persecuted the church. And he called himself a murderer, the chief of sinners, the persecutor of the church. He caused the blood of saints. Well, Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle, bought by the blood of Jesus. And he himself became a martyr, laying down his life for Christ. And so he joins the ranks. A persecutor, a Christian, an apostle, a martyr. And those who have persecuted God's people can be saved. They can be brought to faith in the Lord Jesus. The Lord is therefore worthy of our praises. I don't know how to end this sermon tonight. I don't know how to bring it to a conclusion. I could wrap up and run down and rehearse some of the things that we learned. But the one thing that stands out as a great blessing to my own heart, that anything I suffer for Christ now will be rewarded one day. That has really strengthened me. It always pays to serve Jesus. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. And only what's done for Jesus will last. That's the message. And I trust it'll be your conviction. And it will thrust you out into the world this week to be a witness for the Lord Jesus. It may cost you. It may bring the offense and the wrath of men. But the Lord will bless you. The Lord will reward you. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.